feel free to let your voice be heard as I preach. I don't think I'm preaching a message that is a rah-rah message, like where I'm going to draw out of you your, yes, amen, woo, let's go and burn ourselves into the nations. It's not that kind of message today. I feel like the message that I carried changed throughout the week and headed in a new direction. I had something that I've been meditating on for a while, and then 3 days ago, it kind of changed, and I had something else, and I am praying that I heard right and that the Lord is on this. If he's not, there's great brownies and hot dogs and stuff being prepared. Knock yourself out on them. So, yeah. But before we start, I feel like the Lord anointed our worship time with his authority. He was putting his authority on it. He was wanting to manifest his strength. And I want to encourage all of us to take that strength, especially this week. I don't want to give any fear or empower any fear around Halloween or like the week of, you know, where just stuff gets stirred up in the atmosphere. I'm not giving any power to that. But I want to encourage us to raise a banner of prayer this week and remain in prayer. This week, some people, especially the sensitive ones, the prophetic types, the artists, can get a little knocked around. I mean, the witchcraft level of Halloween is so low level. Like, it's low level. It's, you know, it's just this kind of like activity that kids do and some people celebrate, and it's just the lowest level of like atmosphere that sort of goes around, and we're not afraid of it. We don't have to give it any power, like I said. We live up in the mountains, though, Naomi and I, and New Agers and those who live up in the hills, they love to jump on occasions like this, and it was a full moon last night, and they love to do their thing and, like, you know, take these moments and, like, celebrate them and enter into them, right? And Naomi and I can trade notes sometimes to drive up the mountain, and I'm like, oh, and we use the term, oh, it feels a bit witchy. It feels a bit witchy up here today. Oh, my stomach's a bit churny. Where's my mind? I can't focus, you know. Oh, tripping over things, little accidents happen. It's like, feels a little bit witchy, right? And it's not a hypervigilant state I'm in where I'm always like, hey, what's going on this week? Oh no, oh, I'm feeling something. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I knew it was coming. You think about it, but you forget about it. But when I entered into my prayer space last night, the same thing that happened on the worship came on my prayer time. The authority of the Lord just came on me. I wasn't having to stir up any prayer. I just rock up. Most of the time, prayer is about just rock up and the Lord will anoint you, because the ministry of prayer is the Holy Spirit's ministry. He's the prayer, and he graciously invites us into his prayer life, right? He invites us into his prayer life, so we rock up to pray. The attitude of coming to prayer should be, I'm just going to turn up, and what is it that you're doing, Holy Spirit? What is the Father doing? I only want to do what I see the Father doing. I don't want to tread the treadmill of prayer and be like, oh no, Halloween's coming. We bind up everything that lives under a teacup. We enter into his prayer. And I was amazed at the rush of prayer that came on and the authority that came on it. And I could feel like, yeah, the Lord is wanting to establish his atmosphere. And he's like, no, the earth and the heavens are mine. I've given the earth to my people. I want my people to rule and reign. I'm going to give him my spirit and we're going to rule and reign over the atmosphere. Right? And I was reminded of a prayer that is called St. Patrick's Breastplate. Does anyone know St. Patrick's Breastplate prayer? Nobody. Oh, this is lovely. Fresh material. St. Patrick was an Irish saint. Some of you know the sort of the mythological story around him. He was a person who actually existed. But the story that's attached to him was that he drove out all the snakes out of Ireland, right? Does everyone know that part at least? Yep. But the story accompanied was sort of a picture of the anointing that he walked in. St. Patrick was a person who actually confronted the druid kind of like practice that was going on in Ireland and turned the nation over to Christ. And that's his snakes that he drove out, these druid kind of like things. And he was famous for this this prayer that he wrote. And I was praying it last night, and I want to pray it over you. And I want us all to stand. And I just want us to enter into this, like, declaration. It felt so freeing and so powerful to pray yesterday. And I want to declare it over you. And I want you to shut your eyes and just receive his authority as I pray. It's a little bit lengthy. And in this part, you can hoop and holler. Or if you're not feeling that the anointing's on it, you don't have to hoop and holler. Gee, it really is quiet in here. So just shake your legs out and shake your elbows and your shoulders. All right. I arise today. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity. Through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the creator of creation, I arise today through the strength of Christ's birth with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom, I arise today. Through the strength of the love of cherubim, in the obedience of angels, in the service of archangels, in the hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in the prayers of patriarchs, in the predictions of prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in the faith of confessors, in the innocence of holy virgins, in the deeds of righteous men, I arise today. Through the strength of heaven, the light of the sun, the radiance of the moon, the splendor of fire, the speed of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depth of the sea, the stability of the earth, the firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to save me from snares of devils, from temptation of vices, from everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and near. I summon today all these powers between me and those evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of pagandom, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that corrupts man's body and soul. Christ, to shield me today against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that we may come to an abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arrive, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, the confession of oneness of the creator of creation. In Jesus' name, we declare it over our week to thee. Yes, Lord. Whoa! Give a shout to the Lord. We do come against this week anything that would come against the mental illness of our people. We bind and break its power in the authority of Jesus' name. If anyone has felt like there's been a specific attack this week, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Anyone who is around them, I want you to lay hands on them. And in the authority of Jesus, I want you to command these assignments of the enemy to be broken and bound in the name of Jesus. We stand in our authority right now, and we take authority over every curse that has been spoken, everything that has been released over the church to bring it down. We bind and break its power in the authority of Jesus' name. name. All minds come to peace now. All authority come upon the believers now. Let the prayers of the saints be empowered with the Spirit of God in the authority of name of Jesus. Ho, ho, ho. Woo, ho, ho, ho. Thank you, Lord. I never do this. No, I don't think any of you have seen me do this before. But sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in these ways and He wants to manifest His authority and manifest His atmosphere over our church and over His people and over our week. So we receive it. We pull it down. We pull down an abundant week of joy, an abundant week of grace, an abundant week of joy, an abundant week of peace. We lay hold of it right now in the authority of Jesus' name, not just for ourselves, but for our city. We declare over our city right now an atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of joy, an atmosphere of love that will prevail over this place in Jesus' name. We declare it. Whoa! Woo! That's what I felt in the prayer room. And I don't often walk in that way, but I walked in, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh! Can you feel the Lord? Can you feel the Lord? Can you feel the Lord? The Lord just standing. The Lord not pushing. The Lord not striving. The Lord not grappling. The Lord standing. The Lord decreeing. The Lord commanding. The Lord setting straight. The Lord putting in order. That is the Lord. That is the Spirit of the Lord over us this week. You may receive it. You may sit down. You may rest in the authority of Jesus Christ. Woo! That feels good. Thank you, Lord. We take authority over fear. We take authority over intimidation this week in Jesus' name. We bind its power. We bind the power that would want to shut our mouths and silence our voices in Jesus' name. Not to be protesters, but just to be confessors of what is true. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo-hoo. All right. Now I'm going to soften the tone a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. Woo. Thank you, Father. Woo. All right, left turn. Here we go. So what I was feeling for today was to zoom in on one of the pillars that we have in the house, the pillars of the kingdom. We have two pillars in that the church is built upon, and indeed the kingdom of heaven. The greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy and love one another. And we have our second pillar, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I want to zoom in on this pillar for a moment and talk about something within that pillar. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40, this is where Jesus quotes this pillar. This is where he makes that statement. He's actually being tested by a lawyer who comes to him and asks Jesus a question to test him. He says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I also don't know what Wendy was going to bring this morning, but she quoted, to love our Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This call to love is a call for our whole being to be involved in the loving of God process, right? The command makes sure to list all the components of our nature so that our whole being is involved, our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. It's basically saying, in a nutshell, I want you to live wholeheartedly. Love wholeheartedly with all of you. Just wholeheartedly, honestly, with truth. Love God. It's basically saying love God wholeheartedly and love one another wholeheartedly as well. Not out of command or obedience, but out of truth. Because you do, because you want to live and open up your heart and live wholeheartedly to the Lord. It's not so much a command that we focus on. It should be the spirit of the command. Love. I'm not telling you to love and then you can tick the box. I did love. No, it's like, no, just like get into it and love. Love is the essence of the command. Whoa, be genuine in your love for God and for each other. And if you live wholeheartedly, it says, you have fulfilled life. On all of this hang the law and the prophets. All of life. If you love wholeheartedly, honestly, even simple, honest love, if I do honest, simple love with one person, I have fulfilled life. Some people ask, what is the meaning of life? You have fulfilled it if you wholeheartedly give a cup of water to a friend. You receive the prophet's reward. Wholehearted love. Whoa. That is the meaning of life. Even if you do nothing but you love, then you have fulfilled all the law of God and all the prophets. You have succeeded at the goal of life if you love wholeheartedly. Because you can actually throw your body into the fire to be burned. You can actually give all your possessions to the poor. You can actually speak in the tongues of men and angels and prophesy. You can even actually use your faith to move a mountain. But if you have not love, you have not fulfilled life's goal and mission, right? If you were to fully succeed at life but not have love, then you have nothing. The goal of life is to love. Love is the meaning of life. That is what this command is really saying. And today I want to zoom in even further to one aspect of it on the command and talk about loving God with all of our physical strength. It says to love God with our strength. What does it mean to love God with all our physical strength? Now, the strength that is in this command can be twofold. There is a heart strength, the strength of heart. And I believe tied into this is also, because it encompasses our whole being, the act of loving God with our physical bodies and our strength as well. What does it look like to love God with our physical being, with our physical body? Humans are tripartite beings. That means that we're made up of three components, a lot like a temple. There is a inner room, a sanctuary, a holy of holies. There is a court or a holy place, and there is an outer court, right? Humans are tripartite beings. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. And currently, we are a spirit being, spirit person, having a physical encounter in our body. When we're unlocked from this body, our spirits are going to be unlocked from all time and knowledge, and it's just going to be like, whee! But at the moment, we're in these, confined within this physical body that God has made for us. Our spirit is the holy of holies of our being. It is the place that is reserved for the Lord's glory. Our spirit is the seed of God, the seat of God. God lives in our spirit. If you think about it, Adam, when he was created, his spirit exploded with life and the glory of the Lord filled his spirit. He was one with God. And when he sinned, the enemy said, if you eat of this tree, you will surely not die. And God said, you would die. And when he ate of the fruit, he didn't die. His spirit died. His spirit died and collapsed. But he himself still had a mind, a will, and emotion. So it shows that he had a soul. He had will. He had emotions. He had a mind. He had a body. He was still physically alive. His soul was alive. He could think for himself. He could choose. So what part of him was dead? Paul says that in our sins, we were dead in our transgressions. Our spirit died. Our spirit was dead. And yet we walked around with the capacity to make choices. A lot like the world. The world is alive and yet dead. The spirit is dead. And when Jesus comes into our lives, he sits in the throne of our spirit. He sits in that highest place, in the innermost room of our spirit, and sits there and governs from there. And a little trickle of river flows through from that place and starts to flow into our soul and flow towards our body. Whoa. Scripture tells us that from the throne, that trickle of river flows. From your innermost being, the innermost part, that's temple language, that's Holy of Holies language. When the Lord said to his disciples, when you pray, go into your inner room. Go into the Holy of Holies and meet with the Father who is there. And the Father who sees in secret will reward you. That's your spirit. You can go in and meet with the Father in your spirit. And part of life is to learn how to live from our spirit. Because there's so much that can come and influence the rest of us. Our soul, I consider our soul to be rather neutral. Our mind, our will, our emotions are neutral in the fact that they can be influenced. Our mind can be influenced by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Our will can be influenced. Our emotions can be influenced by atmospheres that come against us. But what we want to learn is to allow the only thing to influence our mind, will, and our emotions is that river that comes from the seat, the spirit that rules above. Our union with Christ, where we're seated in heavenly places and his river flows down. And the only thing that's influencing our mind, will, and our emotions is the Spirit of God. Whoa. And if we lose sight of the Lord in any given moment, then there are plenty of influencers out there. You know, we talk in this day and age of influencers. There's TikTok influencers and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, they influence. The world influences. The devil influences. The devil influences us to evil. And we will do evil out of that influence. And so we want the Spirit of the Lord to have its rightful place. Up above, in the throne, and influence our mind, our will, and our emotions. So, the goal of our soul is to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and make sure we are continually influenced by him. So the river of love that flows from the Spirit of God, living in our spirit to our soul, and then runs down to our body. With our will influenced, our body will always follow. When we choose something, our body follows with actions, right? So there's a union there between our body, our soul, and our spirit. We're a tripartite being. This is really technical, but I'll get to the really good stuff. And we want to have a desire that is for God so that our actions are able to glorify God. We want our actions to glorify God so that we can love the Lord God with all of our strength. So that our actions, our body, show that we love God. And that river is flowing from the seat of authority down through our soul, and our actions are involved in the loving of God command. This part of the command is focused on our physical being. What does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our strength? Especially if you feel like your strength is waning or it has been robbed from you. Oh, good, thank you. What does it mean to love the Lord our God with all of our strength? What does it mean to love the Lord with all of our strength when we have these frail and broken bodies that don't seem to have much strength in them? What does that look like? We live in these very frail earthen vessels that at times can fail us. How do we reconcile that? Sometimes it can be excruciatingly frustrating, especially if your spirit and your soul are burning white hot. That river is flowing, it's gushing down through your mind, you're filled with the scriptures, you're filled with the passion, you're filled with prayer, and then it meets your body and it's just like, poof, dead end. It's like, oh, I can't seem to even get this fiery passion to go anywhere because my body is failing me. What does it look like to love the Lord our God when our body is frail and failing us? Mine's getting old. I was working last night and I called Naomi. I was like, I need prayer. I've got some pretty bad back issues. It affects my tendons. It affects my walking. I walk with a limp, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, this is so not the way. I'm burning on the inside and I just want to get on with it. And this frail body is in the way. How do I reconcile that? Whew. Before I dive into the subject, though, I think it's important to celebrate the physical body that God has given us and just take a little meander through what is our physical body that has been given to us. This is not something that we often think about, but it will help us to worship God with the fullness of our being. If you think about it, our body comes fully prepared for us. I didn't make it. Nobody made it for me. My mom didn't make it. I was knit together in her womb, but nobody made this body for me. I can't make my own body, even with all of my white hotness, passionate prayer and knowledge and wisdom. I can't make a physical body. Nobody can. It's not like an IKEA thing where you go to IKEA, it's like, I need a new body. Let's open this up. Right. Oh, yeah, the eye hole goes into the eye socket. The eardrum goes into the left hip. And, you know, we'd get it all wrong, wouldn't we? If you think about it, our body comes fully prepared for us. It is an incredibly complex living organism whose sole purpose is to house our soul and our spirit. Once we pass from this world, our body is left behind, has no more life in it. It has served its purpose, and in one sense, it has laid its life down for us. Isn't that crazy? This is what I was thinking about the last few days as I was aching with my body. I'm like, whoa. By the time the body comes fully prepared for us, by the time we come of age, where we start having self-perception, perception of the world around us, knowledge of God and life, perhaps around 13, 14, 15 years old, and our soul is formed in such a way that we're acting on important core values in our soul, our body is formed in such a way that it is fully formed and functioning for us. I didn't do anything to make that happen. Our body is an incredible, incredible thing. It's worth celebrating. Our physical bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made for us. We had no hand in making our bodies. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He made it. God dwells in temples not made with hands, except His. And this is it. And you are it. And it is fearfully and wonderfully made. We are knit together in our mother's womb. Our mothers didn't even have a hand in making our bodies. We were formed by the Word of God written into our DNA. I can't go to my mom and say, how did you make me? How did you form these atoms and cells and things? You know? Just happened. God made it. God knit it together. The complexities of how the body is knit together with all of its trillions of components and functions is more than anyone could ever figure out. And we try, with biology and all that, try to figure out, wow, look at that. If I take it under the microscope, there's actually trillions of organisms that are all working. Like, what are they doing? Forming cells, making sure the heart beats, making sure the blood pumps, sending messages at 400 kilometers per hour from the... All that is happening without me doing a thing. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Right now, this thing, my body is telling me, Hans, you preach, I'll do my thing. I'll do the living part, you know? I'll do the walking part. I'll make sure that the blood is pumping. My body is made for me. It's a vessel prepared for me. Whoa. The body is in constant action. There are billions of organisms in our body that all have jobs to do. They are alive and they keep us functioning. We have absolutely no control over any of it. There are automatic functions that take place to keep the blood moving, cells multiplying, to regulate temperature. For example, if I cut myself, I can sit back and over time, watch as the body repairs itself, and I will have zero part in it other than eating good food. The body is incredible. That's all I'm really trying to say over and over again. Our bodies are a living organism in one sense, despite our spirit and our soul. It's got its own thing going on. And yet it's completely dependent. You remove the spirit and the soul. What a crazy thing. This is the weird stuff that I think about up in the hills when we're getting hit with witchcraft. I'm like, oh yeah, oh, sounds a bit new agey, doesn't it? Am I on the right track? Our bodies are a living organism. I don't have to govern over any of it. The body says to me, you be you, and I have the rest covered. Our body is prepared for us by God, and it is a living organism that functions on its own, but it is animated by my spirit. This is the cool part. When God made humankind, he fashioned a body out of the dust, and then he breathed into it and animated it. This body is animated with the spirit that God put in me. When Christ came to earth, it is said of himself, he said of himself, a body you have prepared for me in burnt offerings and sin offerings, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. It's a complex piece of scripture, but in essence, it's saying the physical body of Christ was prepared by God for him to dwell in, become a vessel that would be subservient to the will of God and do what God wanted it to do. His body was prepared for a unique and particular purpose, to do the will of the Father. He was uniquely prepared as a sacrificial offering. It was his body. His body was prepared to have our sin condemned in it in the flesh. God condemned our sin in the flesh of Jesus Christ. God did not condemn us. God did not condemn Christ. God condemned sin in the flesh of Christ. His body was prepared for that purpose and that role. Wow, thank you, body of Christ. Thank you, body of Jesus Christ. And then it was buried in the ground and left there. And he was resurrected, but we don't know if it was in the same body. It seems to be in some sort of other glorified body. Thank you, buried and crucified body of Jesus, whose sin, my sin, is nailed to. What a servant. Whoa. We are also given a body prepared for us, and if we live the above commands, then we will also give our body over to the will of the Father in love, and that's kind of the goal. I want my body to also be a body prepared, not just how he prepared it for me, but for God, for the will of the Father. We are given a body that serves us in serving the Father. The body is set up to serve us. Isn't that crazy? It is a gift to us. Our body is a gift to us. It is a place where our spirit, will, emotions, and mind can live. It is a home for our spirit. Our body is a home for us. It is a gift, and we can celebrate our gift. And what an incredible servant the body is. It will do whatever we ask it to do without a flinch. Think about that. If I say go left, it just goes left. There's no hesitation. There's no, like, you know, argument. If I go and grab a glass of water, all those billions of molecules and cells and all that, they just do it. Some of us wish we had that over our own children. Just come with me. Thank you. Over here. Yes. Now, over here. Thank you. A body is prepared for me. They are the ones who can say, no, my body and us, we want to go over this way. But it is an incredible servant. It will do whatever we say. We wish we... there is no fighting in my body unless I don't have a fully functioning body. If I want to grab this cup, there is no resistance. I don't even have to think about it. I just reach for it. My body is completely subservient to my desire. What's more, it will serve our will, even if our will is against its own benefit. I can tell my body to stay up all night to cram for an exam and then prop it up with coffee the next day and go on to live a student's life like that for years beyond its capacity. And it will do it. And it'll tell me, oh, hey, I'm suffering, but it'll, if I choose, it'll follow. It is an incredibly faithful servant to our will. I can tell it to climb Mount Everest in all of its fatigue, oxygen deprivation, altitude sickness, and threats of death. My will is able to tell it to keep going. Get up that mountain, and it will obey until it exhausts itself, collapses. And even then, my spirit will be striving to get up that mountain. We can punish our bodies in good ways. If I go to the gym, I can tell my body to do more than it is capable of withstanding, even until it goes beyond my limits and tears. Paul said an athlete will beat its body into submission to win the race. And Paul said that he beat his own body into submission to win the race of faith to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. He pushed his body well beyond its capacity. He took the command literally. Love with all of your strength and go! Baptize nations in the Spirit. I imagine Paul was a healthy person walking from city to city, telling his body to go through extremes for the gospel. He tells us that he put his body through, he tells us what he put his body through for the gospel, and his body faithfully obeyed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 29, it says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys in dangers from river, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentile, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure, and apart from all these things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to fall and I am not indignant? It says he was even stoned on a number of occasions and seems to have been raised from the dead at least once. Buddy, keep preaching that gospel. But the stones. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not asking any of us to do this, but this is just what I'm starting out with. If he died, he was with Christ, which was better, but his body would have been the sacrificial lamb. He was able to ask his body to go through all of that, and it was a willing servant. I just want to celebrate our body being such a willing servant to us and to God. It is incredible and worth thanking. Whoa. How beautiful is that? In Jesus' case, he asked his body to fast for 40 days and 40 nights until he was starving hungry, and angels had to come and feed him. He ministered to the point of exhaustion. I'm not telling anyone to do any of this. If you have not love, you shouldn't be doing it. He was filled with the love of the Father. He was living from his spirit to soul to strength, not strength to soul to spirit. We can often take that and beat people up and go, you live with love with all your strength. Oh, but I have not love. Well, do it anyway. No, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with his love. Wait until you're filled with power from on high and then go in the love of the Father and the empowerment of the Spirit. Paul even said, I labor with all of his supernatural power that works in me. It's his love that drove Paul. It's his love that drove Jesus. Whoa. Jesus could ask his body to walk the length and breadth of Israel for the gospel. He could ask his body to travail in prayer until the blood pressure built up in his body, exceeding the limits he sweat blood. He could ask his body to endure a scourging that ripped his body apart. He could ask his body to then carry a cross through Jerusalem whilst being beaten and abused. He could ask his body to be dislocated and pierced to be attached to a cross. His body would have been crying out to him to tell him that it was suffering, but all the while at the flash of an obedient thought, it would say, yes, I will keep on going. Whoa. He could ask his body to remain on the cross, even though he could ask a host of angels to come and bring him down from that cross. Whoa. He could ask his body to continue to minister life from the cross, even when he was crying out with pain to preserve his life. He could ask for all the sin of humanity to be condemned in his flesh. He could ask his body to lay its life down for his sake and for the sake of the Father and for the sake of the world. What an incredible servant the body is. The point is, our physical bodies are extraordinary vessels and worthy of incredible celebration and honor. even when Jesus' body had no life in it, he had departed and had served his purpose. His friends took his body down from the cross and lavished it with spices and oils. They honored the vessel that Jesus had inhabited. It was a worthy servant to God. The precious body of Jesus. Our bodies are precious too. Our physical bodies are waiting for us to turn our attention to Jesus and align ourselves to Jesus so that we can start to fulfill this glorious command to worship God with all of our strength. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Give this body of yours to God. Allow your body to be a servant to God instead of anyone else. Allow your body to be another body for Jesus. On that one that he can inhabit through your union with his spirit. A body that he can animate and partner with to bring love into the world. This is what it means to worship with our strength. I know that this is the desire of the entire congregation, and it seems so out of reach. I'm not telling you to do any of this. We all want to give our bodies over to the Lord to be a willing vessel for him to use. We all want it. I can see you all resonating. You're like, yes, but. We need to take a moment to give thanks for our bodies for being a willing and obedient service. And I just want us to do that now. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to thank Jesus for your physical body. And thank him for your body being such a good friend to you. Thank you, Jesus, for my body. Thank you for this vessel, this glorious, glorious vessel. Thank you for the way that it just does the will of my spirit, even if my spirit is turned to evil. Thank you that your body that you've given to me is servant to you, God. I give my body to you, Lord. Just feel that other aspect of yourself. It is a servant to us. But what happens when our bodies begin to fail us? These things that we live in are so frail and broken, our bodies will always be servants, but they have their limitations. And when our bodies begin to fail us, sometimes we can feel betrayed. I've often felt betrayed by my body. I've often felt betrayed by my mind. If our body fails us in a little way, it can feel like a betrayal. How do I reconcile this? If we don't reconcile it, we can fall into the trap of cursing our own frailty. Too often when our bodies or even our mental health fractures, we can curse ourselves as if it's our own fault. I curse this body that doesn't want to go forward. Too often we can look to God in these moments and feel like we are letting him down too. As if we are betraying him. I just want to do your will, oh God. I want to be so full of life to be able to go and just serve you. It's letting me down. How do you feel about that, God? We turn to him. We ask him, how do you feel when a part of me that I don't want to fail you fails you? But if we fall into this trap and are busy cursing ourselves for our frailty, how can we fulfill the command to love God with all of our strength? You can't have cursing and life coming out of your same mouth, James says. So we need to reconcile somehow to ourselves and to God and reconcile our bodies to God. How do we do that? We can't love and curse at the same time. We need to reconcile our brokenness to the love of God, so that even in our weakness, we are able to fulfill the command of God. Even in the failure and the collapse of our bodies, we're able to honor the Lord so that His love is pouring and gushing out over us. The truth is that Jesus never asked us to have a full and perfect strength in order to love. Jesus never asked us to have a full and perfect strength in order to love. Jesus has never asked us to live the life of Him, to live the life of Paul, to live the life of Peter, to live the life of whatever He's lived. He's asked us to live our life. Jesus has never asked us to have a full and perfect strength in order to love. He Himself had to come face to face with the limitations of His body. This body of His was weak and frail and corruptible. Imagine where He came from. Jesus comes from the place of utter openness and peace and love and just totally omnipotent, totally all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And all of a sudden He's like, I want to go into that body. I want to go and live an existence where I don't know everything, where I don't know and have limitations on my love, have limitations on what I can do for God. He's like, yeah, that feels like a right thing to do. He came from a place of immense freedom to a body of incredible restriction. He came from a heavenly body. He gave that up for a broken body with limitations, and He loved it. He loved His broken body. Because it was the ultimate servant. He didn't come as a superhero. He didn't come as superbody to show off. And this is how it's done. Move aside, people. You need a supernatural body to accomplish the love of God. No one can fulfill His commandment. He didn't come as a superhero. And He would never have cursed the frailty of corrupted human flesh. He never cursed the sinful flesh. He cursed sin. He showed love and compassion to us and to Himself. How could He love one another as yourself if He didn't first be completely reconciled to the love? Imagine being Jesus and thinking, oh, if only I had my uncorruptible body, I could accomplish this in 15 minutes. This world thing. Could have this done. But that wasn't the attitude of Jesus. He was like, ah, perfect peace, rest. What an incredible body. Broken body. Man, no angel, no heavenly being has ever experienced anything like this before. It's incredible. These broken people loving me. Wow. This is what it feels like to be restricted. Whoa. Epic. Wow, I love this. Hey, body, go over there. Oh, I can't. Whoa, isn't that incredible? Body that doesn't do what you want it to do. Oh, incredible. The key that Jesus used was that He reconciled Himself to His weakness and His frailty. He made peace with His broken body and He gave thanks for it. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He shows us a way to reconcile. This was the night that His body was going to give way. Everyone thought that Jesus was going to come and live forever and conquer the world in His current form and rule the world. But He was going to allow His body to give way. On the night that He was betrayed, it says Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 28, as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. I want you to eat of the broken body. You can't eat of the whole strength body because you don't have one. Eat of the broken body. I am at peace with the broken body. I bless the broken body. I give thanks for the broken body. Jesus blessed the bread, which was His body. He broke it and He said, take this broken body and eat of it. Eat and meditate. Meditate means to chew over. Chew over the revelation that I came to inhabit a broken body, and I loved it. I embraced it. I embrace you. I now come to live in you. A broken and frail body that sometimes can't even do what the will of the Father does, and I accept it and I love it and I embrace you. Whoa. Because if we have a broken body or a broken mind or a broken will or broken emotions, we have somewhere to take that where we will find understanding. We have a place where we can take it. Jesus is able to love and comfort us with the same comfort that he received from the Father when his body was broken. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And this is more accurately what it means to worship the Lord with all of our strength. We sometimes think to worship the Lord with all of our strength means to sell all our possessions, give our body over to the fire, do what Paul did, do what Jesus did. Just abuse your body. Abuse it. Just make sure that it's like, no, just get off me. I've just got to go. Only thing that matters is my spirit and my soul. That was the Greek thinking. The Greeks were always just about super apostles, super spiritual. No, the flesh is evil. We just leave it behind. We're just super psychikos. We just float off with spirits. The only thing that's important is the spirit. Jesus bangs that thing right back to the ground. No, you're a tripartite being and you're a broken one, and I love that, and you should too. How can you love broken people if you can't love broken you? Go and love broken people as broken you. On this, the prophets and the law hang. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second one is like it. Love broken others as broken you. That is the law of love. Whoa. We fall into that trap over and over and over again. You can only love broken people as whole you. No. Love broken people as broken you. Whoa. This is more accurately what it means to worship the Lord with all of our strength. It's not about our physical strength. Jesus is not impressed with our superhuman strength of our worship. Even if we nailed it. He's like, eh. Seem better. He's not impressed with Paul's ability to do all that Paul did. When Paul came to heaven, he wasn't like, wow, I mean, of all the apostles, come on. Of all the people in the world who did all the great stuff, I mean, hello. Ticket, please. Jesus was not impressed with Paul's ability to do all the things that he did. In fact, Jesus threw some trials Paul's way to make sure that Paul didn't get too proud about the fact that he was worshiping God with all of his strength. 2 Corinthians says, so to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, a thorn was given me in my flesh. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus dispensed broken physical ailments on Paul. Nobody knows. There's a whole thing around that. But something was given to Paul to limit him so that he can get in touch with his weakness, because it is in weakness that God gives his strength. That's the revelation that Paul lands on. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. See, he's struggling with this. Ah, there's this disability. Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. Heal me, Lord. It's like, no, find my peace and my rest and my strength, and my grace will carry you through, and you'll do even more extraordinary things, leaning on my beloved. And maybe I'll heal you too, raise you from the dead. Whoa, for the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. What does it mean to worship God with all of our strength? When we are weak and honest. Strength here is defined. When I am reconciled to my weakness, then I am strong. When I bring my brokenness to God, then I am strong. When I eat of Jesus' broken body and have fellowship with him in my weakness, then I am being true. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Strength is bringing your true self to God, not hiding yourself. Oh, I'm trying to be smart for God. Bringing your true self, Lord, my mind is broken. And he says, I love your mind. Lord, my body is broken. Shh, I love you. I love you the way you are. I love you. I love you though you can do nothing. I love you when you can be still. I love you. Now, as you are perfectly loved. Whoa. God doesn't want our worship to be strong. He wants it to be true, which means it must be honest. And if we are true and honest and wholehearted, then this is true strength. This is what it means to worship with all of your strength, to be all of your honest self. I feel like we need to do two things today. One of them is to stop cursing our own bodies and stop being condemning of ourselves and condemning ourselves for being weak, condemning ourselves for not having run the race well, condemning ourselves for being just someone who's in the back row, condemning ourselves. We need to stop that. Isaiah 53 says that if we put away the cursing finger and the pointing of the finger, even to ourselves, healing will spring up from the ground. In all of this, I'm actually going after the wellspring of life. We've been going after healing, and we go after it in many ways. We go after it in commanding bodies to be healed. But how can we receive the love of God and the healing of God if we're just cursing our bodies all the time? Lord, heal me. Heal me. I'm sick of this body. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Lord, where's your healing? I'm offended. No. Rest. Wow. I love this broken body. I'm content with being weak. When I'm weak, then I am strong. When I put away the pointing finger, whoa, life and joy and peace brings merriment to my heart, and it is like a good medicine. It's not New Age stuff. We need to put away the pointing of the finger, and it's time to be reconciled to the weakness. I have a whole other message that then takes a sharp left turn that says, we have to do the same with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. And we can often be so down on it for being so weak and slow and miserable and it's not doing enough. Put away the pointing of the finger because Jesus loves his broken body. It's not just your broken body, it's his. He loves it. He accepts it. He fills it with all in all. He's going to take your broken body and he's going to fulfill his kingdom. Whoa, with broken vessels. Woo! So, I just want to begin with just some quiet renunciation. And in your mind, doesn't have to be out loud. Just close your eyes. And if you particularly have been struggling with your mind, with your body, and just feeling frustrated and anxious about it, I want you to just quiet your soul, quiet your mind, and I want you to give your fractured body and your fractured mind into the hands of Jesus and let him love it. Let him pour those spices and oils over your fractured mind, your fractured will, your fractured emotions, your fractured body. And quietly to him, just renounce the condemnation. Renounce the cursing. Renounce the beating up on yourself. It's not you, Lord. You would never condemn me. There is no condemnation for anyone in any state who is in Christ Jesus. You are at perfect peace with the Father. The Father is at perfect peace with you as you are right now not when, now. And I want you to just give your broken body to Jesus for him to feast on. He blesses your broken body. He lifts your broken body up and gives thanks for it. See him taking you and lifting you up and saying, Father, I give thanks. Father, I give you thanks for this body. I see the Lord taking your body and lifting it up to the Father. Father, today I want to thank you for this body. What a fearfully and wonderfully made image of God. And even more so that it is broken. It's now the image of Christ. Thank you. Father, thank you for this broken body. See yourself in the arms of the Father right now, being thanked by Jesus in the state that you are, broken as you are, more so because you are broken. And give him honest praise from that place. I want you to give God honest praise and worship and say, Lord, I give you this. I give you my weakness. I give you my brokenness as honest praise. It is the most valuable, more valuable than your dancing, more valuable than your shouting, more valuable than your prayer life, coming to him and saying, this belongs to you, Father. And I thank you for all my limitations, for all the broken parts. I give them to you. Give him honest praise. You are fulfilling the mission of life right now. You are loving God with your strength. The precious body of Jesus. And I want you to now forgive yourself for the betrayals of your body, the betrayals of your mind, the betrayals of your failures, the ways in which your body has not accomplished what you wanted to do. Just forgive. Say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you, body, for not being able to keep up with me. I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for beating you up further. I'm sorry for causing you illness because I was so down on you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I didn't care for you or love you. I'm sorry that I used you. I reconcile myself to you. I want to love others as I love myself. When you say to yourself, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you the way you are. I love you. I love you. And over those who struggle with mental health, I just want to break the power of condemnation. There is absolutely no condemnation for who you are. Break the power of condemnation. Command that to lift in Jesus' name, and I release the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding. May the God of peace crush Satan under your feet, that you have peace with God and peace with yourself will be the weapon that crushes that satanic voice that speaks to you, will crush it under your feet. And for those who need physical healing in their bodies, I want you to receive the love of God. I want you to receive the life of God for who you are. Not for what he's going to do, for who you are. Receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit for who you are right now. And let that heal you. Receive the love of the Father for your body. Receive the love of God. Receive his life. Receive his acceptance. Receive his adoption. Whilst you were yet sinners, he did all this for you. Not when you were better. He broke his body for you whilst you were still in sin. I thank you, Lord, that you loved me before I was even slightly washed clean. I release the love of your Heavenly Father over you and your broken body, and I release the oil and the spice of the Holy Spirit to come over you, to come over your body, that he would anoint you. He would anoint you with oil of gladness. He would anoint you with the oil of healing. He would anoint you. He would anoint you with his peace. He would anoint you with his love. I just prophesy over you all that you are going to be ministers, powerful ministers of the healing love of the Father, the healing power of the Father to those around you, because you have received the love of the Father yourself. You will powerfully love people as you love yourself, and God is going to make his grace sufficient to you in weakness. Peace and shalom to you in Jesus' name.